just want to say while they're filling out their pattern, I want to tell you how much I appreciate being here with y'all.
Yeah.
I am enjoying myself incredibly much and am honored to be a part of this gathering and honored to be a part of you letting me into your conscious space. I love it. So while they're cutting, I want to tell you a quick joke.
The past, the present, and the future walked into a bar. And it was tense.
Yes,
I know. Oh, good. So I got it. It was tense.
Yeah.
How many of you know the past, the present, and the future is in this room?
Yes.
And now we may point to somebody and say, they're in the old. And we point to someone and say, well, they're in the new, they're in the future, or those people that are in the now. But the past and the present and the future is within each one of you. And we're all on a journey. And we're all going to get there. And someone that's in the past isn't wrong. And someone that's in the future isn't wrong. And someone that's in the now is not wrong. It's a matter of perspective. All unique, all valuable, all purposeful.
Yes.
Right?
All
right. What? What?
You play this tomorrow.
Who's tomorrow? Also, Jesus said, today and tomorrow I do cures.
Right.
So those of us that use insulin for diabetes and migraine headache medicine or chemotherapy or, you know, whatever it is. It's okay, that's a cure, isn't it? But we're transitioning the ages into the age to come where there's perfecting. You with me? Today and tomorrow I got cures. On the third day, I am perfected.
What a great place to be and what a great time to be alive because we are learning the perfecting process. And in Hebrews chapter 6, it tells us a mystery. End of chapter 5, beginning of chapter 6. It talks about being skilled in the use of the word. And Paul is rebuking many by saying that you've drank milk for too long. But meat is reserved for those that are of full age, who by reason have exercised their sense of knowing good from evil. Therefore, let us go on to perfection.
Amen.
So tell me, what's a prerequisite to going on to perfection? We need duality. We need the knowledge of good and evil. Purposeful. We're making quite a mess. Okay, are we done cutting yet? We'll start over here. Rokas, what label is on you?
I am. The label
is Hindu. And did you cut your star out nice?
Well, I tried.
Did you follow a pattern?
I did as carefully as I could follow that.
And can you hold that up? Does everyone recognize what that is?
Yeah.
What is it?
Hindu star.
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 Yeah. All right, Lynn, what are you?
Secularist.
A secularist. Woohoo! All right. Did you follow the pattern?
I got the star.
Can everyone tell that this secular humanist cut out a star?
Yes.
Can we tell it's a star?
Yes.
Did he follow a pattern?
Yes.
All right. Lyle, what are you?
Unitarian.
You're a Unitarian. Anyone know what Unitarians are?
Lyle. Pattern people.
Did you have a border?
Yeah, well. He did really. He said it was prettier than mine. But it was pretty hard.
So you were able to follow the pattern?
I did.
Can everyone tell that that's a star?
Yes.
All right. Buddhist. You're a Buddhist.
See,
you the Be careful. I got a joke to tell you. Now, part of my position here, you probably already guessed it,
those little devices that go inside the leather shoe that stretch it a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, that's my rule. That's my rule. So Buddhist dies, and he goes up to St. Peter. Some of you already heard me say that. And St. Peter says, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in here. You have the run of the place. You can go anywhere in heaven you want. And the Buddha says, great. And he starts walking down the road, and he says, wait a minute. Don't go in that last room on the right. And he says, why not? He says, well, the Christians are there, and they think they're the only ones in here. What are you?
I'm a pagan.
You're a pagan. Okay, you mean all of our traditions, including the altar, the robes, and the bucket, and the steeple, all of those things, even our celebration of Easter, you're a pagan? Okay. Were you ever? Oh, you did a good job. Now, can everyone see that that's a star?
Yeah, I had a pattern.
You followed the pattern. Awesome. What's your badge?
I think this is terrorist.
Muslim.
And did you follow the pattern?
Yes, I did.
And you were able to cut out a star. Good job. Maasai. Does anyone know about the tribe of the Maasai in Africa where they can jump, I think, 8 feet in the air?
Warriors,
and you followed the pattern, and you cut out the star. Praise God. All right. What are you?
I'm a Native American spiritist.
And I think you are.
Yeah.
And you cut out a pattern. A Native American Indian was able to follow a pattern.
It's not a circle.
And you know what?
We always do circles.
Makes them look funny. And they eat from a ayahuasca plant. Do you know what that is?
Ayahuasca.
But let me see your star again. You followed a pattern. You did it. Excellent. What are you?
I'm an atheist. I don't believe anything, nor do I feel the need to.
Yeah. And what do you have there in your name?
I've sort of cut into the lines because I like incredible base of a star.
Did he follow a pattern and did he cut out a star? Elijah, what are you? You're a shaman. Let me tell you.
You are.
Do you know that a shaman reconciles the heavens and the earth? They're priests?
Yeah.
Did you know that? And you still have your paper attached. And you know, I don't think a shaman ever attended a service at a charismatic Christian church or ever raised a hand and walked an aisle. But you follow the pattern and you kept your paper intact. I mean, that's a first. Will, what are you?
I'm an agnostic.
You're an agnostic? Where's your star?
Well, I get it.
You get it? We are all in the process of unfolding, are we not?
I love that.
Did he follow a pattern?
Yeah.
Even though he didn't walk an aisle, even though he didn't raise his hand and accept Jesus into his heart, which is not in the scripture, by the way. He probably wasn't baptized, sprinkled, dunked, chunked.
Yes, he was.
He followed. But he followed a pattern, did he not? What are you referencing?
Scientology.
Scientology.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Well, maybe.
She is a star. Did she follow a pattern?
She did.
She did. And is she letting it shine? Is it out there? Is it up there?
Yeah, like Tom Cruise.
You know that the star is Christ, right? Hey, who's next?
I'm a Mormon. I'm magical.
You're a Mormon. You're magical. And
you wear special underwear, don't you?
I do. Magical underwear.
She wears special underwear, and she does not drink cold coffee.
And I'm a little outside the box.
A little outside the box. And you know that we know what you guys do in that upper chamber. You're taking all your clothes off and doing baptisms for the dead. And woo! But you still have a pattern.
Have a pattern.
You cut it out. You did it.
I did.
All right. What are you?
Wimpkin.
What?
Ooh. I'm a witch. My family will probably testify to that.
Who's that girl?
I see that.
I'm still a star.
And yet you followed a pattern.
Yeah.
Am I pressing anybody's buttons?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right.
Very good.
I never heard of this. Jainism?
It's Orient. Shintoism, it's just a sect. There's going to be some that you never heard of before.
I didn't either. I just got them off the internet.
and yet you were able to cut out a pattern.
Yeah, but it's ripped a little bit. It's torn. I tore it.
That's okay. We're all torn. We're all torn. We're all broken. All right.
I'm a Christian, but I'm not a Christian.
You're a Christian. So bless your heart. You don't think any of these other people are with you.
Right.
They're all going to hell.
It's okay. It's okay. You followed a pattern?
Yeah.
And you got your star.
Yeah.
Kathy? Shinto. You followed a pattern? Okay.
I have no idea.
Baha'i? Does anyone know what Baha'i is?
Yeah.
I want to hear Lovers of Peace.
Lovers of Peace. And what are you? What are you? Rastafari? Yes, you followed a pattern. You got a star. Davis?
Absolutely, there, brother.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I'm the one that's got the true star. I'm Jewish.
You're Jewish. You followed a pattern? You're Sikh. So you're one of those guys that grows the hair really long because you think you're an antenna for spirit. And you wrap it all around your head and you cover it with a cloth.
Mm-hmm.
And you follow the path.
I did.
You did, and you cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a star.
I do.
Excellent.
Taoism.
I'm
my star.
Taoism. Awesome. You got a star. Follow the pattern.
Gnostic.
Ooh. That's a good one to end on.
We didn't hear that one. Gnostic.
So you're a Gnostic. So you don't really look at things literally. You look at things mystically. So mystically, you follow the pattern and you have a what?
Star.
Good for you. Okay. All right, who's ready to crucify me?
Ooh,
no.
Now
it's not here.
Yay. Not this time.
Okay. Was that a good exercise?
Excellent.
Probably half of the
There's no Jehovah's Witness in that thing.
Well, that's who you are.
They're in there. All right, I'll be the Jehovah's Witness. I don't celebrate birthdays.
What do you say?
Y'all get my point? You know, I hang out with half of these little labels there. They're my friends, including the pagans, the Wiccans, not Satanists. Sorry, they're not in my list, but I'm not even going to go into that. But Wiccans and pagans are not Satanists. You know there's a difference? Does everyone know that there's a difference between that? I have a friend that's a Wiccan and one of my dearest, and someone who is more Christ-like than most of my other friends.
It's the truth,
because, you know, the scripture said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. That is not our interpretation of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus was setting a pattern, and he was called a patterned son. Mm-hmm. And he's the firstborn of many brothers. So if we do what he did and we follow the pattern, guess what? We have found our way to the Father. Where's the Father? Do you know that the Father is a creative principle inside of you? That creates worlds without end. It's eternity inside of your being. Can I help you explore this pattern of Jesus on the cross and what it means to be saved? Is that, do I have your permission with that?
Amen.
You know, when Ray was talking yesterday about not taking the baggage on the plane that it had to go underneath, you know, I can talk like this with you because I've been right where many of you are, where many of you have transitioned out of, and where many of you were. I can tease and make fun because I was as rigid as the next person. I cast more demons out of people. Believe me, it works. I was an elder at a church. I was in charge of deliverance ministry. I was in charge of intercession. I've been there, and so I feel like I've earned the right to speak frankly to those that call themselves followers of Jesus Christ. Whatever label you are, whether you're Jehovah's Witness, whether you're a fundamentalist, whether you're a Baptist, you know, it doesn't matter. We're all trying to get and walk each other home, are we not?
Yes. Yes.
This is all a very good thing, meetings like this that stretch us a little bit, because we don't have the market cornered on who. We don't. I work with some of these people. I talk with some of these people on a regular basis, hours at a time, and I'm telling you what, they've got it. They've got the truth because they're following the pattern. And the pattern is simply this. You bring your egoic life willingly into a place of death and surrender, so that it can be resurrected as servant of spirit.
That's the perfect thing.
That's it. Because spirit needs a helpmate. If the spirit were to walk in this room right now, and I know it's here, but if it were to walk in this room, not only could we not see it, but it needs a physical container to put itself into to experience third-dimensional reality.
Yeah.
And who's the helpmate?
We are.
Who's the Eve?
We are.
Yes. And so we're here banging it out in third-dimensional reality, experiencing all manner of good and evil for the purposes of expanding the consciousness of I Am. Now, I'm going to hand out a book in a little bit, but I'm going to give you a word. And it's the only word that came to me so strong that I was to give here. And so I ask for your forgiveness in advance. Barbara, you're going to love this because I heard you say something before in a meeting. You are, I am, green eggs and ham. And the jackass that the Christ wrote in on is you.
Yeah, I got it. Wonderful.
Didn't get too many claps on that. You are, I am, green eggs and ham, and the jackass that the Christ rode into the city of peace. The burden bearer was the human being. The scripture is filled with metaphor and allegory, and there's even a place in scripture where it defines Sarah and Hagar as allegoric. So, Egypt is inside of you. Pharaoh's inside of you. The woman that took care of the deliverer for a time is inside of you.
Is Merlin in
there? He's in you, buddy. You following me? Yes, sir.
Actually, the jackass that Christ wrote in on, it says he had never been written before.
It is important, and it's important why, and let me tell you why. Virgin Mary, human race. You want to look at this as metaphor and allegory? History, yes. Mary, Mother of God. Mystery, Mary is the human being. Virgin, because never before had spirit found a mechanism to penetrate biology.
Yeah.
You got that?
Yes.
This is a... Did you like that, Mark?
Yes.
Virgin, because never before had biology been penetrated by divinity. This is a very unique planet. And how many of you know it's very small?
Yes.
Very special. Very unique. And our task, and I'm going to go into this in detail, but our task is to take the physical body out of 3D, third dimension, the realm of the knowledge of good and evil, the realm of duality, and raise it up into an immortal status. And this will not happen if the ego is master of the body.
That's right.
The ego is the son of perdition.
Oh my God.
Do you like that? I need some help handing these out. I don't have enough, so couples, if you could share, I really appreciate that. These are yours, the writing, complete, half, whole, forever filled, resurrection.
Can you make it up?
No.
No, I'm going to ask you not to go too far ahead so we can stay on task. This first part, and we may only get through one part, is called Letting Go and Embracing the New. This is a prerequisite for understanding the new wineskin as it pertains to the willful conscious evolution of planet Earth. I know that some of these words are new to Christians, especially consciousness, consciousness evolution. This is part of resurrecting the body, and you'll see as we go on how it pertains to you. I want to read, first of all, where it talks about traps for monkeys. Okay? I'm going to read this to you. There's an ancient story from China that stems from the way traps were set for monkeys. A coconut was hollowed out through an opening that was cut to the size of the monkey's open hand. Rice was then placed in the carved out fruit, which was left in the path of the monkeys. Sooner or later, a hungry monkey would smell the rice and reach his hand in. But once fisting the rice, its hand could no longer fit back out through the opening. The monkeys that were caught were those who would not let go of the rice. Excess baggage will not make it onto the plane. In the cabin, that's pressurized. It's going to have to stay below. A lot of our doctrines are doctrines of man and doctrines of demons that have been designed to keep your fist in the coconut. It's not a bad thing. A lot of us have had to receive an anchor, just like Paul did, to keep him in the third dimensional realm. It's not a bad thing. It's so that you can become fully exercised in the knowledge of good and evil, so that ultimately your experiences will serve you for where you're going. It's not bad, it's not wrong, it's not evil. It just is. Okay? Now, when we were in Starkville, I talked a little bit about the brazen serpent on the pole. If you turn 1, 2, 3 pages down, you'll see a page picture of Jesus on the cross and the serpent on the pole. If you want to just keep your finger on that page, it's a good visual aid for you. Letting go of the familiar, the brazen serpent on the pole was powerful to bring healing to those wandering in the wilderness that were bitten by deadly serpents as they simply looked to it. Okay, metaphorically, remember, history is good, mystery is better. History will bring you to a certain level of understanding. Mystery will bring you to perfection. The letter
kills
the spirit
to lie.
Okay, so we're understanding that we need to transition out of historical, traditional understanding into mystical, metaphorical understanding of our being, should we say. All right, so the serpent, the one that speaks to us all the time, the one that brings doubt.
Yeah.
Did he really say? What is that? Say it, please.
Come on.
It's the carnal mind or the ego. They were being bit by serpents. So what was happening to them?
They were doubting.
They were being bit by serpents. They were doubting. They were fighting. They were being territorial. They were being egoic. You have no right to talk to me that way.
The energy of material consciousness.
The energy of material consciousness. That is exactly what the serpent represents on the pole. Now, Moses was given the task to guard, to guide how many millions of people? 4.2? What is it, Mark? In the wilderness. And they were being bitten by their own and dying. They needed to be saved. So God spoke to Moses and said, listen, you take a brazen serpent and you put it up on a pole. And then I want you to raise it up. And when the people look to it, they will be healed. And guess what?
They were healed.
But they had to step out of their tent.
Yep. And so, what did they end up doing to that pole? What? It became an idol? So instead of looking at the pole and understanding what it was that it meant to them, they began to worship it.
Oh my, do we have a parable?
Now we know from what Rokas talks about and Lynn talked about last night, this energy, this serpent queen energy is inside of your body. And for those that are familiar with Hindu teaching, some Native American teaching, a lot of Middle Eastern teaching, this serpent energy sits at the base of your spine. It's called Kundalini energy. Is it okay that I speak with you on these terms?
It is.
It's not Christianese. which is what I usually see.
Yes.
So bear with me. So this Kundalini energy sits at the base of the spine down here, and it is in the area, the energy area, that is fear. Fear is the lowest part of our existence, and that's where most of us are. In our third dimensional reality, we make decisions based on fear. Fight or flight.
It's colored red.
And it's colored red. The next energy center, survival. Where we act based on survival. What's it for me? How am I going to get out of this one? Okay? The next energy center is your emotions. Where you start to reason through your, well, how does that make me feel? Then the next energy center is the heart. It's the heart where we start to think of things not in terms of fear or survival or knee-jerk reactions, but now we're starting to experience a little bit of ascension in our consciousness. The next level or the next endocrine system up here, the thyroid, this is our expression of truth. And then as we continue to climb that pole, the spinal column is a pole, we come to the point of intuition. And now we can hear spirit clearly rather than being ruled by fear. And then it's ascension. So just real quickly, I gave you a picture of that energy in human consciousness as it begins to move. How many of you know that how many thousands of years ago, good Lord, what was the consciousness like on planet Earth? What was it like? I'm just saying thousands because I'm not going to talk about the repeating cycles.
Barbaric.
Barbaric?
Yeah.
Barbaric.
Yeah. Very tribal and.
So do you think that they knew about computers back then?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. What about women's rights?
What about that?
Okay. What about the cotton gin?
Yeah.
All right. What about certainly they knew about the galaxy, the universe. Do you think that they figured out the code for the DNA molecule? Okay. I'm being silly. But what has happened is human consciousness, known throughout the ages, has experienced a certain level of ascension. And so human consciousness gets to that point that Lynn was talking about, that fourth level, where it's split, and in comes a Christed being to show us the way out of our stuckness, out of our karma, out of our sin, so that we might recognize that we are, I am. That has chosen willfully a human experience in order to raise the physical body to immortality. Now, when Rokas was talking about this level of sin right here, you know, sin isn't whether you cheat on your wife, or whether you drink too much, or whether you steal a car, or whether you kill somebody. That's not sin. It's a byproduct of living in this dimensional level. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. If you don't lay aside your sin consciousness, literally the DNA that runs through your body, you are not going to experience ascension. And this was the pattern of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, where it says that he sweat drops of blood. In the Garden of Gethsemane is where Jesus began to lay down his identity as a human. What did he say? Please, take this cup from me. There's so much symbolism in that. Please take this cup from me. What did he end up saying?
Not my will, but thy will.
Then he said it again. Please, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. He said it three times. Who knows what Gethsemane means?
Oh,
Theophrys. What is oil the symbol of? Spirit. What has to be crushed in order for the oil to rise? The olive, the fruit of the olive. So symbolic. So in our everyday suffering, strife, problems, trauma, drama, guess what's being crushed? And the olive press is similar to the wine press. And what's interesting about the wine press is that it takes something solid and turns it into a liquid by putting it in a press.
Oh, yeah.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Guess what's being compressed right now, even in this room? The expanse of the mind that stands between earth and heaven is being compressed. And you're in the press. You're going to come face to face in the next several hours and days to come, coming to the end of your excess baggage. Things that you must lay down. You must lay down if you're going to go on to perfection. You must lay down if you're going to go on to perfection. With misapplied affection, worship the pole became idolatrous and was subsequently smashed to pieces by
mine.
Who said to smash the pole and the serpent? Am I losing you? Who said it? God did. Its worship is analogous of our own religious idolatry, and in effect this misapplied practice was to their detriment as it was dragged past its season of intended relevance and symbolism. Ultimately, this displays a pattern of our own demise when we misapply and create doctrines that do not stem from spirit but rather from the mind of man. Remember, they were being bitten by fiery serpents, a symbol of our own carnal egoic nature. This was bringing about. Are we dying?
Yeah.
From the moment you're born, your cells are dying. We are in a state of death. An intended limitation of 120 years because man is now, Genesis chapter 6, man is now mortal. And mortal means having the capacity to die. The symbolism of looking to the serpent on the pole is key to understanding the power resident within ourselves when our own egoist serpent nature experiences a rising up. The spinal column is like a gauge. The lower the serpent nature is in the spinal column, the more carnal the man. More aptly, the pattern shows a resurrection occurs or ascension as our carnal man dies to death and we experience the resurrection or quickening, healing of our mortal bodies. You following me? The picture of perfecting the body is to bring about ultimate healing will not happen if we fail to grasp the intended symbolism of the serpent on the pole. It's what it was. It was a pattern, a symbol and a type. In the scripture it says, these things, wandering in the wilderness, happened to them for you. As patterns and examples. These things happen to them. Historical? Yes. Mystery? Absolutely. Pattern through the ages? Yes. These things happen to you upon whom? Say it loud. Upon who the end of the age, the end of the world has come. When you start discerning the patterns in Scripture, when you start to understand that these things are inside of you, that Moses is inside of you, the rock he struck is inside of you, the water that issued from the rock is inside of you. These are not external events. You are experiencing right now, even in your hearing, a divine inversion. Because reality was extroverted so that the ego could learn and thrive. And now it's coming full circle, it's coming inside, and it's recognizing that the whole book of mysteries that we have that we call the Bible and other spiritual texts are actually your journey in consciousness.
Yes. Yeah.
It's when you viewed God as external and men carried him on their shoulders.
Yes.
Build the temple according to a specific size. And then Jesus comes and says, he does not dwell in buildings made with hands. He dwells in you. So the Old Testament is a picture of our journey through our belief systems till we get to the place where we recognize we are New Testament covenant standing in flesh and blood.
Yes.
And not only are we New Testament, we're leaving New Testament and we're entering into the book of Revelation.
Yes.
Where we understand that the beast is you.
Yes.
The beast that stands on the waters, you know, 1 foot on the waters and one in the land, is the human being that straddles the ego and the spirit. And these things in us are resurrecting, and we're having the opportunity to deal with them so that we can leave our baggage. It's all so good. Scripture is filled with metaphor and mystery. And if we don't grasp it, we're going to miss the Messiah in the midst.
That's right.
For he has come to raise the body. Okay. Let's go on past the picture. In the pattern, Scripture shows an idolatrous people who fail to grasp the mystery, or rather the mystical interpretation of this event. Who do we traditionally think the serpent on the pole is? Of course, we think that's Jesus. That's the example. He was made sin for us, and indeed he was. But who is that pattern? It's a corporate man, displayed in one, a corporate identity. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And is this person identified, worshipped? Yes. And do we continue to go around the mountain when we project to an external Savior? Are we continuing to die? Are we continuing to deteriorate? Aren't you tired of it?
Yes.
Historically, Jesus came to show the pattern and to empower the pattern. The mystery, Jesus has become the idol that has hindered the unleashing of our own becoming. Not that we're taken away from worship, but it's worshiping that he actually fulfilled his mission. We fully realize we can give life as that Jesus of heaven.
That's right. But what we do, as human beings do, we look for something greater and external from ourselves. Because we've been told we are sinful, and we're not good enough, and we'll never get there. Scripture clearly says, be perfect. Even as my Father, who is not in heaven, be perfect. Isn't that good? In the Old Testament pattern, Scripture, did God approve of the worship? Did Jesus ever ask to be worshipped?
No.
So why do we do it? We do it because we need an externalization of the Savior. And we needed it until the ego could understand that it was itself, I am. The ego needs to come to the end of itself as a master of the body and enter into servanthood. So we saw these things and we participated in these things and they were good. And they worked for a season, just like the pole was raised for a season. But there remains a promise of rest for the people. But the hearing of the word must be mingled with faith, or you won't enter in. You must believe who you are. You must believe that you chose this experience, good, bad, and ugly. And you must believe that all of your experiences serve you divinely. All right, what was the result of this worship in Numbers 21? We know that the pole was smashed and that they failed to grasp the pattern. Do we? And here in Romans 8:22, just in case you were wondering, it talks about, we know that until now the whole creation has been groaning as with the pains of childbirth. And not only it, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we continue waiting eagerly to be made sons. That is, to have our whole bodies redeemed and set free. Furthermore, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good to those that love God, called according to His purpose, because those whom He knew in advance, He also determined in advance to be conformed to the pattern of His Son, and might be the firstborn among many. Oh, so Jesus is my brother.
Yes.
He's my brother. He's my older brother.
Yes.
All right. I am going to go out on a little bit of a limb right here. Every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I would love to talk to Lynn about this term, but I have a feeling that I know what it means. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that the Christ is Lord of the body. That means my knee will bow. My egoist, carnal, lower nature will bow. It will leave its place as master of the body and bow its knee to the Christ who is Lord. Isn't that nice? And all it takes is a slight shift from external projections of understanding reality to internal. That's all it takes. Okay. Let's skip this page because we've already been through it. The pattern of the fall. We'll skip that. And I want to talk briefly, if we can go to that next section, past the blue page on the new wineskin. Oh, does someone have an extra book that they can share with this young man? All right, I'm going to wrap up with this, the new wineskin. I had a revelation. I was trying to figure out what I was going to speak about during this event, and we have some property and a pond behind our house, and I got in the little rowboat and sat in the middle of the lake and just asked the Spirit that's within me. I said, come on now, you need to give me some revelation about this. Because, you know, the bottom line is, these things are spoken by all of us, but they're not intellectually processed. They're not learned by our linear mind. We can only have tools and pictures and symbols, but your mind really is just the servant, and it can't necessarily keep up with the rapid expansion that's going on in consciousness. The mind is just a servant. There comes a time when we have to step out of our mind and into our intuitive spirit faculty. We won't make it if we don't. Okay? These things are discerned by spirit. Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. All right, the new wineskin. This is what I thought was so powerful. Now, if Jesus was a pattern, then what did he do? If Jesus was a pattern, and he was, he's a pattern of ascension. And I'm going to tell you a mystery. This wasn't the first time that Jesus came to earth. Right, buddy? Not the first time Jesus came to earth. He was a multidimensional Melchizedek priest, which means he has not only been through the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, 12th octaves, but beyond. One of the things that a Melchizedek is given the charge to do is to come back and return to help the next graduating class. That's you. So he came as a 13th dimension. In the 13th dimension, you have the choice of whether or not you're going to go on to the next octave of experiences,
right,
or whether you're going to come back and reincarnate yourself in time. Now, this is the saying that the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. He laid down his immortal status, entered humanity and was capable of dying because he became fully human.
Yes. Okay?
So as a Melchizedek priest, he wasn't. This wasn't his first go-round. He carried within his frame a higher vibration. They said to him, "Why don't your disciples fast? John's disciples fast." And Jesus said, "Why should they fast when the bridegroom, which means he came into union within his body, his soul, his ego, his carnal man, and the spirit, came into union. And through that union, the pattern is as it produces a son."
Yes.
Okay? So Jesus fulfilled the pattern of having the wedding. He didn't call himself a groom. He didn't call himself a bride. He called himself the bridegroom. Why should they fast? Why should they go without when the object of their fasting is with them?
Yes.
Why should they? But then he said there'll come a time when the bridegroom is taken from them and then they will fast. I never tied the next scripture together with that. He said, "For who would take a new piece of cloth, unshrunk, and put it on an old garment?" Because what would happen is the garment, your consciousness would tear from the vibration that was evident in Jesus' consciousness.
Oh, yes.
So then he said, "And no one would put new wine into an old bag." So Jesus was saying, "I'm here, I'm showing you the pattern. You can walk on water, you can walk through doors, you can raise the dead, you can cause withered limbs to grow out, you can do all these things, because the kingdom was manifest here on the earth." But he also said, it cannot stay. Because the consciousness of the human being was yet fledgling. It was at a lower vibration. It was not equivalent to what he bore in his body, and he knew it would cause a rending and a tearing in the consciousness of the fledgling and developing Christ, God man, Emmanuel. So he came and he left a pattern, and that pattern is here for all, not just Christians. It's for everyone that will take their ego and turn like it and say, "I will love at all costs. I will lay down my life of self, my life to be offended, and I will enter into that rest that I've been promised." So that new wineskin is a vibration.
Yes.
And it's higher. The serpent on the pole is a pattern. This on the cover. This is the Gospel of Thomas. If any of you have read it, it's a Gnostic text found with the Dead Sea Scrolls. And isn't it interesting that this life was placed in the Dead Sea? Waters represent humanity. And he said, whosoever discovers the interpretation of these things will not taste death. Jesus said, those who seek should not stop seeking until they find. When they find, they will be disturbed. When they are disturbed, they will marvel, and they will reign over all, and after they have reigned, they will rest.
Yes.
So the level of your indoctrination
yes.
will be to the level of your being disabled.
Yes.
When I heard some of these words back in the 90s, I used to try to cast demons out of the people that were speaking them. But it went forth as seed. And you can't help become who you are. So be patient and kind with one another.
And yourself.
Yes. Be patient and kind. Because the seed will grow, and it will, like the parable said, overtake the garden.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to end with this. I promise I'll end with this. You know, we talk about the ego not being destroyed. You know, isn't that what we tried to do for decades, years, millennia? We try to repress the ego. It's not supposed to be repressed. It is supposed to willingly go into death. But how many know the more that rules and regulations you put on someone, Gary loves to teach about the strength of sin is the law. So the strength of this is the law. Isn't that the truth?
Yes, it is.
So there's a parable, and this parable is called the unjust servant. And it talks about this servant who is supposedly squandering the wealth of the master. The master comes, and he says, you know what, I'm putting you on notice because you've been squandering my wealth. And the servant goes. So he goes out and he says, hey, how much do you owe my master? He says, I owe him for 100 bushels. And the servant says, okay, make it 40. How much do you owe my master? She says, 40 buckets of grain. Okay. How much do you owe my master? And on down the line, he begins to cut everybody's bills dramatically. So then, the master comes, and he looks at the guy, and he says, well done. You've behaved wise in the ways of the world, and you've made for yourself friends that will welcome you into eternal dwelling. So what did the unjust servant do? Forgive debt. Forgive us our debts. The wealth that the servant was squandering was the ego's ability to forgive. The ego's ability to forgive. And the ego is going into eternal realms. Isn't that good?
Awesome.
Okay, I'll end with that. Thank you.
Hallelujah.